This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Got to have a J-O-B if you want to be with me.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson, because I'm nasty.
And I am for real.
It's time for Red Salad Review with your host, Wayne New, Greg Nalo, and Lou.
Do it.
Great. Welcome back to Red Salad Review. What's up, everybody? Hi, Lou. Hi, Greg.
Evening, Wayne.
Good evening. What's up, Heisenberg?
You know, funny thing, we're doing this Kiss show, right? And Christmas time, my wife ordered me a couple Kiss things.
I thought you were about to say she ordered you a couple of hits of meth, but okay.
No, I'm still waiting for that. I don't know where
that is. Oh, got it. Okay.
So anyway, the package never showed up until finally today. I got it today. Of course, we're doing a Kiss episode, and they finally showed up. So I got all these live CDs, that the soundboard thing that they've been putting out lately.
Cool. So nice.
I had one of them, so these are the other ones I didn't have.
Which ones are they?
Virginia Beach, 2004. Donington, 1996.
That was a great one.
Des Moines, 1977.
That's classic.
And one that I'm really interested to hear is Poughkeepsie, 1984. This is the only...
Burn it!
No, it's the only one with Mark St. John on it.
It sounds like shit.
Does it really?
It really does.
Oh, well. What are you going to do? It's the only recording they had, apparently. And
the only show that he did, apparently, from start to finish.
Really? All right. And two of the songs are cut off, too.
So. He did three altogether. The funny thing is, I actually have a full soundboard of not the Poughkeepsie show, but one of the other two we played on. And it sounds pretty good. And I kind of wonder why they didn't release that one. Maybe they don't have the rights to it or something.
Or we don't even have it. Also got the German version of Revenge.
Ah,
because it's got the Kiz. S. Yeah,
I thought that's backward Z's.
Yeah, I don't have any other releases with the different Z on it, so thought it was cool to get that one and this T-shirt. I wanted Psycho Circus on vinyl too, but they were sold out, and I got this T-shirt. I thought it was cool.
Oh, cool.
That's an interesting. That's not a bootleg, is that? What is that?
No, it looks bootleg though, right? It's the Creatures of the Night.
It's interesting because there was never a poster advertising live with Ace on it because he was out of the band.
Right, yeah. So I don't know like where that picture ever came from. I have no idea. But I thought it looks really cool.
It does look cool. I mean, I just have the basic Creatures album T-shirt. But right. That looks really cool.
Yeah, this looks better than that.
I would agree with you. You passive aggressive piece of shit.
I'm not saying because.
Yeah. Eat me. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so we're continuing
praised. He did the most important thing that any fan in the Kiss Army can do: consume, spend money on Kiss merchandise.
I'm Gene Simmons, and I invented the wheel.
Yeah, we'd have to do a whole other episode on Kiss stuff that I own. I have something else. I used to have it in the background when we first did the show. It's a, it's like this box, and it looks like it's on fire. People have seen it before. It's from like the early 2000s or whatever. All right, so part two of the Kiss discography from worst to best. Greg, what are we doing today?
Asylum, Monster, and Crazy Nights.
Asylum, Monster, and Crazy Nights.
So that is your 17, 16, and 15 then?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let's...
Which, I know, it'll piss plenty of people off that Crazy Nights isn't last, but, well, we'll get to that. There's many positive things about it, despite the Bon Jovi bullshit.
Well, let's start with Crazy Nights. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's
just starting the order. He said it.
Oh, I thought we're not going to go backwards.
No.
All right.
No, we can.
Oh, Crazy Nights is better. Is the better one of this episode?
Oh yeah. Oh,
okay. All right. So you're going. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Asylum's the worst, and then it moves up.
Oh, all right. Okay.
But I mean, the 80s were like a wilderness time for Kiss. Animal Eyes, even though I like that one more. Kiss wasn't really a speed metal band, and they definitely lost their way quite a bit in the mid to late 80s here. And the thing about Asylum is I do think it's a little overpraised, mostly by people. Yes, I get it. You were a teenager then. Yeah. But, and everything sounded like that. But that's the problem. It sounds like everything else. What I actually got off, kicked off a Facebook group the other day for saying, because someone, you know, what amazes me though, as much as I love Kiss and other bands, some of these people that are like, everything's a 10 out of 10. Like, have you listened to Bang Bang You? Like, I'm sorry, but no. And even Paul Stanley wouldn't call that a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
As far as his head is up.
And they played that one on the Crazy Nights tour.
Yeah, it funny thing about that is Wayne and Manny, when we were chatting about this last week, said no was worse. I'm like, what is wrong with you guys? But the biggest problem with Asylum is they're trying too hard to do this other shit and kind of forgot who they were. And I got kicked off that board for saying, which I still think it's funny because it's sarcasm, but whatever. And I love Hanoi Rock, so obviously it's nothing against Razzle, but Asylum sounds like the end result of all the filler tunes from Rat's 85 album, Dawkins, and Motley Crue's getting in a car to go to the liquor store with Vince Neil.
Ow, too soon.
Starts off strong, they're dropping that Pantera in the gear, and then they get around the corner because it's very unsecretly cruel.
I see what you did there.
Easily the worst song on the album.
Over All Night.
You know, as much as I hate that song, I understand why it's popular. And the lyrics, yes, they're insipid, but Kiss lyrics are going to make you cringe. It just happens.
Of course, like, that's just
bread and butter. But it's very annoying. And I kind of feel almost like it's not finished. That's another thing about this. All three of the singles. Now, were two of them written with Jean Bavar from the Plasmatics or just Who Wants to Be Lonely?
I think he just wrote Who Wants to Be Lonely. I think Paul was the sole writer on Tears Are Fallen.
Okay. All three of them seem to follow the same basic pattern, though. It's like, yeah, I like this fucking chord change. This riff is cool. Let's remember this for the next couple singles. They'll play this on the radio.
Yeah. Oh, did you freeze?
I mean, it starts off great. Did you freeze?
I thought you froze.
I'm not frozen.
Oh, okay. King of the Mountain, actually, I think is a great opening track and one of the better songs on it. But any way you slice it, that's a good song too. And Who Wants to Be Lonely was my favorite off of this when I was young, but it's one of their more annoying habits, especially in the 80s, it seems like, was the overuse of these two catchy choruses, and it just goes on too long in some of the songs.
Yeah.
And I'm Alive, another great song, but doesn't really sound like a Kiss tune.
Well, if you're going to judge it by that standard, you may as well say Under the Gun isn't a Kiss tune, because they both have similar chord usage.
Well, I mean, none of these albums really are what you would think of when you think of Kiss. Sorry.
No, I agree with you on that. I mean, I'm not to cut you off, but I mean, to me, Kiss is a rock and roll band. You know, this is, And I'll get more into it on my review on the album, but this is like the end of their four album heavy metal Kiss streak period, I would say. Or at least 80s metal, you know, like what would be considered the 80s metal era. I'm sorry, Greg, continue.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes a lot of sense. But You know, look it up and even Animal Eyes. My biggest problem with Animal Eyes is actually Mark St. John, but that's a story for another night. A great guitar player, but we'll get into that later. They just, when they were incorporating new stuff into their sound, and even on Crazy Nights, which is mostly a pop metal album, if, well, maybe not metal, but it's definitely pop rock, but it still had some essential Kiss feel to it. For at least the majority of the album, this is like the most okayest thing Kiss has ever recorded. It's serviceable, but there's like no personality here. And that's why largely it just doesn't do it for me. Are all the songs on here horrible? No. When it gets bad, it does get really bad. And there's a few moments like on Radar for Love and even Any Way You Slice It. And what's that other tune? Oh, I did Radar for Love. Okay, yeah. Where it gets that Kiss vibe into it. And that's where I think Bruce Kulick was really, really important, especially because with St. John, you know, he was a pure shredder with the puking notes style, as especially Paul Stanley likes to call it. Kulick gives it a little bit more of that bluesy flavor, that little bit of swagger, kind of like Ace. I'm not saying he plays like Ace, but he has more of that sensibility that kind of fits in and lets you know it's a Kiss album instead of the B-side to a Dokken single. Yeah. So I think they did their best, especially for Gene not being around so much. And I don't give a shit what John says. I swear Gene picked him out later on after the Kistory book came out, and he probably got all upset about how Paul said, oh, he wasn't really there. He left everything up to me. So he gets Jean Brevard to do an interview where he says, oh, no, well, Gene was there on the days I recorded bass for those tracks. We decided that, you know, since I wrote them, I should play on them. Whatever. That may be true. But case in point, that's 2 days, 1 day for each recording of each album that he was actually there. And that means Gene was there the whole time. Nice try, Gene. But they got too caught up with chasing the current sound, which is something that they were kind of guilty of since Dynasty, really. And I think lost a little too much of their personality here, where it just resulted in not necessarily doesn't sound like Kiss at all, but just a little bit substandard on the songwriting. It's kind of boring. A lot of it kind of melts together. It's not awful, but it's definitely not one of the best from the 80s.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy Priceline.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I remember picking this up. It was at like a truck stop or something. I remember the bright colors and things like that. So it was kind of like weird. But you know, it fits the period of time. And you know what? I was reading up about this too. I didn't notice this until I read this. The album cover depicts the four members from like the solo releases. Like, let me see what the color is there.
It does. Yeah. I can tell you what they are.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Paul's got the purple, Gene's got the red.
Yeah.
Bruce has got the blue, and Eric's got the green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they all, you know, was Ace and Peter and stuff like that. So that was kind of weird. They were still doing that back then too. You know, like just getting rid of Ace and Peter in a way, kind of, you know, just replacing them. So I thought that was funny. But anyway, I like most of the album. King of the Mountain is really good. So that's one of my favorite 80s era Kiss songs, I think. I love, and I know I mentioned a couple of times I don't like double bass Kiss songs, but that one I can deal with. I really think that one's good. Anyway, you slice it's okay. Trial by Fire is basically just Lick It Up, just a different version of it. You notice that?
It's like the chorus of Lick It Up. Trial by Fire sounds like an unfinished song almost.
It does. And I actually kind of like it. It's not too bad. but it's just so close to Lick It Up for me. It's just like,
it's not horrible, but it's close to Lick It Up, and it just sounds unfinished. It doesn't sound like a full song. It drives me crazy. It's like this little interlude.
Yeah. Yeah. Who Wants to Be Lonely has that 80s, you know, pop sound to it, especially with the chorus. It just sounds very 80s. I'm Alive, I didn't really care for.
Talk to me with your eyes. Yeah.
Tears Are Falling is probably my second favorite off of this album. And then I think the rest of the album just kind of falls off for me. And Up All Night. I didn't realize that was like the last track, because I haven't listened to this album in like a long time. And I'm like, they ended on that.
Yeah, so, that song is fucking horrendous.
I wish they had a better ending to this album, but all in all, I mean, the album could be better, but you know what? It's 80s Kiss. And I'm not really fond of 80s Kiss that much. And yeah, this just fits into that period of sound. Like you mentioned before, it's just going with the flow of what everybody else was doing. So
yep.
It is what it is. How do you feel about this Asylum Loop?
I feel All Night had better endings in the music video with the models that they chose. Thank you.
The video for Who Wants to Be Lonely was much better, and actually kind of how I discovered this, because of the Kiss Exposed VHS tape, and there were boobies in them.
It was quite a wet one. So when my brother, Mikey, my late brother, got rid of all of his cassettes so he could buy a CD player and eventually purchase CDs, this was the one Kiss album that he had in his cassette collection that I took. And I didn't listen to it until after I had listened to Destroyer and Hotter Than Hell. Mm. Because, you know, I wanted to hear classic Kiss before I heard 80s Kiss. Greg, what's up? You were laughing.
Because when you said that it was the one you picked out of the tapes, I was thinking of The Price is Right, and I hear Adam Sandler in my head, "The price is wrong, bitch."
Oh, great.
Like you had...
Well, oddly enough,
he wants to pick from, and you know what the title.
He did have, I recall he had Animalize, Asylum, Crazy Nights, Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits, and Hot in the Shade. But our cousin Jimmy jacked the four of those and left me with Asylum. So I'm like, okay, you may have gotten Animalized, but you got Hot in the Shade too. So, anyway.
Well, Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits. I mean, thank God you didn't have to hear Let's Put the X in Sex at that point in time.
Yeah, I eventually heard it and I was like, I want those 3 minutes of my life back.
You know what? That one's actually pretty similar to All Night.
I could probably tolerate All Night better because it's on Asylum.
Yeah, I just hate it. To be thinking about that.
I know Ralph digs a lot of the production that they did on Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits, the remixes, but I just and I love Eric Carr as a drummer, but I mean, what they did to him and Peter on that, they neutered the drums on compilation. So, anyways, I said Asylum was one of the first five Kiss albums I heard, and I still enjoy it. But it's really a continuation of the style that they originated with Creatures and dissected it to its most pop formatted to release what is essentially their last quote unquote heavy metal album of the 80s. Bruce Kulick shows that he is a more than capable member who fits in perfectly with the rhythm section of Eric Carr and Gene Simmons. Still, we do now know that it was John of the Plasmatics who did a lot of those bass lines.
Yep.
Facts of facts. So here I like about 75% of the Gene songs and about 83% of the Paul songs. I'm glad that they finally released Love's a Deadly Weapon on this album, which was a holdover from the Elder Sessions. But the weakest songs are both on side two, Secretly Cruel and Radar for Love. Gene is full of the bad cliches on this record, and Paul really wants to let his Led Zeppelin influence show. Didn't work, though. Still, I like the album. It's definitely not a cash grab to me, but it's not as good as my top 10 favorite releases from Kiss. Standout tracks, King of the Mountain, Anyway You Slice It, Who Wants to Be Lonely, Trial by Fire, I'm Alive, Love's a Deadly Weapon, Tears Are Falling, and All Night. Yes, I like the song, sue me. Weakest tracks, Secretly Cruel and Radar for Love.
Yeah, and Love's a Deadly Weapon was actually the song I meant. I confused it with Radar for Love. You both have love in the title. You mentioned it was from the Elder Sessions. That's what made me remember.
Okay.
Although I do love Bruce's solo in Radar for Love.
Yeah, what I like about Bruce is that he kind of combines like the best elements of Ace and Vinny and Mark and, you know, kind of does his thing. And, you know, I get it. He got the nickname Spruce Kulick because he stood still on stage while playing. But listen, I'm a guitar player and, you know, Schenker, Michael Schenker, never moved on stage. Always played with the V sandwiched between his legs and just played his ass off. Am I going to like disparage him just because he stands still as a tree when he's playing? No, because he could play rings around anyone you put against him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Bruce is truly an unsung hero in Kiss. My opinion.
No, well, I think so, too. I always thought he was sounding really good at Kiss. You know, he was a good replacement, you know.
Oh, totally. And I mean, one thing you can hear on here, even though he didn't have full input, but just his input on the songs that he does write, they're stronger for having that element to it, having Bruce take involvement in it. I mean, he really wasn't only just the glue, but I mean, he contributed a lot, and it's really a shame the way they shafted him during the farewell shit.
I wish he came in a little bit earlier. I wish he maybe would have came in on Lick It Up, you know.
No, how dare you?
Yes, I wish he would have came in then, because then he would have been with the band a lot longer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but this,
Vinny and maybe Asylum would have been a lot better.
No, it wouldn't have, because a million to one is perfection, you prick.
No. I said maybe Asylum would have been a lot better. After, you know, he started.
It might have been, but not Lick It Up. I mean, if he came in on Animalize, I think that would have been perfect.
Which he kind of did, because, you know, he did do two lead solos on that.
And actually, honestly, that's why I would love for them to re-release the Animalize live uncensored video, or at least the audio from it on a CD. Bruce could shred a little bit like that, but he did it in a more melodic, soulful way that really worked. And even though I like Animalize, that was my big problem with St. John. He really didn't fit in that well with the rest of the band, the way he played, unfortunately.
He didn't. And again,
those songs sounds like Under the Gun live on that with Bruce and Eric is amazing.
Yeah, and I'll defend Vinny's presence on Lick It Up, because the songwriting was some of the strongest that Kiss ever released on a record. Mm-hmm. Again, just an opinion. I love Lick It Up, Wayne. I do love that album.
I like about half of it. We'll get to that one.
I not the title track, but again, we'll get to that when we get there.
Yeah. What's next? Monster or Crazy Nights?
Monster.
Monster is next. Wow, you put Crazy Nights above Monster.
And final studio album. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Wow.
That is because, much like you mentioned, Wayne, a lot of Monster isn't really all that memorable. But the reason, this was another one, just talking to other Kiss fans, where they were like, what? You can't put Scab Kiss albums above any original members? It's like, well... You know, here's the thing. They're just guys that joined the band later. Are they wearing the makeup? Yes. But by that logic, the albums they're praising with Bruce and Vinny and Eric Carr and Eric Singer, even, because he's on Revenge. Sorry, guys, if you forgot. Yeah. But technically, that would be Scab Kiss, too. Their logic doesn't make any sense to me. Right. But Sonic Boom was a definite misfire, and Monster is really what I feel that album should have been. It's a little uneven. Not all the songs are super memorable, but while they're not off on a tangent trying to recapture that 70s Kiss sound, what they do is take what they've learned from all over the years. Because I mean, you can hear stuff from the 70s on here, the 80s, even some like Dynasty type influences, Carnival of Souls, Revenge. I really like the little bit of attitude this has from the Revenge sound in it, actually. Mm-hmm. But they took everything they learned over the years and it culminated into this album. And it's not their best, but I think it's a really strong statement for the end of their career. Could it have been better? Yeah. But I mean, the majority of your rock albums out there have some great tracks and some filler tracks. I mean, we happen to love what we listen to a lot, but reality is there's not a lot of 10 out of 10 out there.
No, there is not. I mentioned this in our chat. I when I first heard this, I didn't like it. I still don't like it. I think this album sucks.
You don't even like Hell or Hallelujah, huh?
No, not really. I don't know why.
Which is interesting.
It's probably the second best song on this album, but I really don't like it.
Huh.
But this album has a lot of energy in it. And I mentioned this in the chat. It sounds like Kiss doing a live album, but these are all songs that they picked from like, you know, all the albums, but the shitty songs that nobody really wants to hear, you know. They all sound good. The music is very energetic. The music's it's just everything flows really well. It's just that when the lyrics go with the songs, there's no choruses. There's just nothing has any memorability at all. At least to me, I can't remember any of these songs, you know, after listening to them once, and I just totally forget about them. And when the album's over, I totally forget everything that I've heard. And the only thing that I liked was the song All for the Love of Rock and Roll that Eric Singer sang, because to me, that's the only thing that sounded like an older Kiss song, like I would hear Kiss do, you know.
It does, because they're trying to,
they're trying
to feel like it's Peter Criss, and right. Just like they did on Sonic Boom, they go fucking full on.
But so I can deal with the Sonic Boom because I can hear Kiss. But you know, like we mentioned, even with the even Carnival Souls, that don't sound like Kiss, but they do a good. They play, you know, all the songs good. I remember everything off it. This thing, I barely remember anything off it.
Huh.
I don't know what it is. It's just. It just sounds like just a bunch of mishmash songs all just thrown together. I would have liked, like I mentioned in our chat too, if they would have went back like Van Halen did and picked up some songs that they like, you know, never released along the way and then worked on them and then, you know, brought them up into today's sound and fixed them here and there or whatever and made an album like that. Maybe it would be a lot better, but this doesn't work for me. I wish it did because everybody seems to like this album. I'm kind of like the only one out that doesn't really like this.
On one hand, that would have been cool, but I like the fact that they did this better now also. I like the record too, but it showed that, you know, yes, they're employees, but they're not just hired guns. They played and created well as a band together, and I think that really comes through here. Other than, I do like the Singer song, but both the Singer and the Thayer tune, they sound strained. Because they're trying to make it sound too much like Ace and too much like Peter.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And they all played on this album, right? There's nobody that was brought in to play anything. They all played on this.
I believe they did everything. Well, there's always eventually some kind of bass overdubs with Gene. But no, they all played on this.
Yeah, so at least for the most part, it was all them, which they haven't done in a pretty long time. Is, you know, everybody's recording their own stuff on this, so that, you know, that's cool. But I just wish the songs were more memorable, you know.
Yeah.
What about you, Lou? Unmute yourself.
Right. Thank you. So, in my opinion, this is the album Sonic Boom should have been, and I think that's the best album Kiss could have released prior to their inevitable end. The album sounds heavy, but I think it's the truest rock and roll album they've released since maybe Rock and Roll Over or Love. Even though I didn't support Kiss in the last 20 plus years since the Farewell Tour, the real Farewell Tour, I heard this album and thought the musicianship was there and was happy with the result. Monster is a good Kiss album. Just a good Kiss album. Yep. I think the standout tracks are Hell or Hallelujah, Wall of Sound, Freak, Shout Mercy, Long Way Down, The Devil Is Me, and Out of This World. Yes, I like the Tommy Thayer song on it. Okay tracks.
Oh, I like it.
Okay tracks would be Back to the Stone Age, Eat Your Heart Out, All for the Love of Rock and Roll. Eric's song on Sonic Boom was better than this.
It was, but I'm just, as far as this album goes, that song is better for me. And that song, Freak, that Freak song is so stupid.
It's Kiss. It's what dumb. Do you want? Emerson, Lake, and Palmer?
I'm a freak. He's talking, what is he talking about his ear? Like, what is he talking about?
I thought I hit an all-time low last week with the Swing Low Sweet Chariot thing, but forget it.
It's just knowing their age and then the lyrics and the things that they're writing about. It's just like you're too old. It sounds their age, and they're writing about things that are too old, like too young, not their age.
Do you want them to write deep material?
Yes, I do.
It's Kiss,
but they have done it before.
Kiss, well, Kiss could have put out quality material. It could be the Rolling fucking Stones.
You know, just they're garbage.
Last chance, and right here, right now, are okay tracks. The weakest track is
I never got to hear that song right here.
It's on the iTunes release. Weakest track, Take Me Down Below. I don't like that one.
Oh, I'll take you down below right now.
Yeah, that one's not really all that great.
You're fired from Severed Angel.
Back to the Stone is the other one I really didn't care for all that much.
You didn't like Kick Out the Jams Part 2, Electric Boogaloo?
That's no, what that reminded it's, me of. It's, Thank it's, you. It sounds awkward. It's hard to explain. It's funny because I see everybody ripping on the lyrics and it's like, yeah, they're stupid, but so what? It's Kiss. It sounds weird. Yeah, like a boogie rock version of Kick Out the Jams.
So this would be
Hell or Hallelujah.
This album would be my least Kiss, my least favorite Kiss album.
Really? Hot in the Shade is above this.
Monster, Hot in the Shade, and then I kind of agree with some of the stuff that we've been doing so far, but yeah.
Wow.
That's me. That's my ears. You know, I'm weird. Wild. Everybody says I'm weird, so I'm weird. I just hear things different, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
I hear things the right way. All right. Crazy Nights.
Yes, Crazy Nights. Much hated and maligned corporate rock Kiss record.
I'm so shocked you have it up this high.
It's I'll tell you, it totally is at its worst. It is a drunk with DT's drawing of what he thinks of Def Leppard's Hysteria. I mean, it gets that bad on here. And again, I think Lou made a good point about Asylum too, which and I'm sitting here with my notes. I just can't keep my phone screen constantly on, so I'm trying to keep eye contact. But you know, I didn't think Asylum was a cash grab either, or Animalize for that matter. I think it was definitely them just trying to stay relevant. And Crazy Nights, I think, is a combination of both. Now, the reason this rate's higher is because, you know, Paul talked with Gene got a little bit more involved, but also he opened up to Eric and Bruce a little bit more, and they got a lot more involved here. And Hell or High Water, I'll Fight Hell to Hold You, No, When Your Walls Come Down, hang on, Chip, I gotta gotta look this up now. Well, there's so many songs on these records, you know, I can't.
It does feature the first song that we ever recorded as a cover song, The Reason to Live.
Yeah, one of the ones I don't really like.
That wasn't the first song?
That was not the first song. That was the first Kiss song we covered.
Yeah.
Not the first song we covered. The first song that we did was freaking Atomic Punk by Van Halen.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
give us
yeah,
some integrity. Right, thank right, you.
I'm sorry. Oh, Thief in the Night.
My mind's in a different world. Thief in the Night.
You sure you're not on the meth?
But you know, Bruce and Eric, even though Eric didn't get any material on the album really, but well, I think he's got a co-writer credit on one of these tunes.
Yeah, I think Hewlett co-wrote No.
Yeah, No, that's right. Yeah, you know, they were working real well together and they became the backbone of Kiss. And Animalize for sure, but even Asylum to an extent, mostly because of what they picked for the singles, even though I like Tears Are Falling, you know, they almost feel like Paul Stanley solo albums. And while this definitely has songs like that, not only is it a Paul solo sounding tune, but the worst song Kiss ever put to wax, My Way. This sounds more like of a fully formed band effort than the previous two albums. And that's why I call Animalize and Asylum the Wilderness albums. It's still Kiss, but it's mostly Paul doing the work. And it tends to follow along what the people they influenced did. And they don't really seem like full ideas or even complete Kiss albums. But this gave that dimension back to the writing style, even though at the same time they were trying to take on the Bon Jovi crowd. Now, the singles, without a doubt, are the worst tunes on this record. I do like Reason to Live. I disagree with Ron Nevison's production. And I think his biggest glaring issue here is this fucking Diane Warren track, Turn on the Night, has no business on this album. I mean, yes, the song itself, Crazy, Crazy Nights, is super light in the loafers, 80s anthem, let's rent a fucking bubble machine. Like, guys, we did not need this, okay? We've got Rock and Roll All Nights. We've got Shout It Out Loud. We've got I Love It Loud. We didn't need a fucking 80s version of Rock and Roll All Night to compete with the Tiffany crowd. Like, no, absolutely not. As a fan, it bugs me. As somebody that could definitely use more money, who can't, I wish I had shares in it because I'm sure it sold like crazy. But, you know, they leave that crap on. But the song Nevison doesn't like, Sword in the Stone, which they end up giving the Bonfire, man, that could have been huge for Kiss. Yeah. I've heard the demo. It sounded great. That should have been on here. Mm-hmm. And that was real disappointing. But the cheesiest one on here, that's one of my favorites, is definitely Good Girl Gone Bad. And is it the most creative thing Gene Simmons ever wrote? No. But you know what? It's the most goofy fun Gene has sounds like he has had on a song since he did She's So European on Unmasked. You know, Fits Like a Glove is good, and there's other good tunes he has on some of the other, well, not so much Animal Eyes and Asylum. His tracks are the idea of that, but he actually sounds engaged and more involved here rather than just crapping out some tunes, just here, record this, gonna throw down my bass lines, oh, shoot this horrible Michael Crichton movie, mostly horrible because I can't act, but anyway. Nuke and Trick or Treat was cool, which, by the way, is finally getting a U.S. Blu-ray release coming up this year. They finally worked out the music rights. But anyway, for all of its faults and pandering to corporate rock or for cash or whatever, I think this is, for the most part, a really strongly written album, and they really start coming fully back together as a band here, which really started happening on the Asylum tour. But is it their best? No. Are there other 80s albums in this AOR style that are much better than this? Yeah. But Kiss puts their own unique touch on it. And it's average, but I like it.
Yeah. I remember we did this album a long time ago, Greg. Me, you, and Unknown from Timeless Haunt.
Yep.
Remember we pitted this against Alive? Was Alive 1, right?
Alive 1, yeah, because he hated Alive 1, but Crazy Nights was his favorite. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That is an odd comparison.
It is.
Studio album to a live album. Yeah, okay.
Well, just the fact that he said Alive sucks and Crazy Nights is amazing. It's like, amazing. Where do you get amazing from?
There are a lot of people that, like, maybe it started, like, I know Chris Jericho is like a huge 80s Kiss fan, and this is one of his favorite albums too. So a lot of people like these 80s Kiss albums, like that's their favorite era of the band.
You know, not only with, I mean, Bruce's and Eric's and Gene's writing contributions, but at least for Asylum and Crazy Nights, this is some of the best Paul's ever sounded. He throws down some pretty good vocals on these records outside of My Way with its creaky falsettos and bullshit, but that song should have never been written, much less recorded.
Well, you've put down every song that I've liked off this album so far.
Surprised you don't like I'll Fight Hell to Hold You.
I do. That's probably my second favorite song off of this. That's a really good song.
Like My Way, though. It's so awful. That keyboard line is so
I know, but it's what makes it.
It's a better song than Nothing Could Keep Me From You.
And what's the other song?
I would rather listen to We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. That's how fucking bad My Way is.
No way. It makes
the melody line from We Didn't Start the Fire less annoying because we don't have to hear, no matter what, I've got a girl inside me. So I wrote these lyrics with lipstick. I can't remember the song because it sucks. So I did it my way. It's like, and then it's funny because some of these kiss-tards, as I'm sure Ralph would call them. Oh, have you heard the isolated vocal takes from that song? It's like, no, I don't need to. I've heard a Cat in Heat. I don't need them singing mediocre anthems on top of it.
And I love Turn on the Night, too. That's one of my favorites up here.
You know, Diane Warren wrote another song with Night in the title that is 10 times better than this. Really? And it's by El DeBarge.
Oh God!
Rhythm of the Night.
Yeah. Oh, you feel the rhythm of the
I'm glad it didn't Diane cover that. Wrote that.
Yes,
and I only love that song because it was highlighted on Miami Vice. So,
but
it's better than Turn on the Night. That's for sure.
No way! No way! No way! No chance in hell. But crazy, crazy time. Nights. A friend of mine I used to hang out with all the time. Always put that song on, and I never really cared for it, but he played it so much that I started to like it. So I was like, all right, I got to check out Crazy Nights, and finally did. And I love I'll Fight Hell to Hold You. It's a really great song. It's a heavy song, too, to be honest. I think it's the heaviest song on his whole album, really. Right?
No.
I'd say no, no, no. And it's, when it's your more walls like, come down or on equal footing with it.
Yeah, maybe Thief in the Night, because I think of Wendy O's version. You know, and that was a pretty heavy cover of this song.
Although, I mean, I'll tell you, you cut off Turn on the Night and throw on Sword and Stone and beef up the production on this a little bit.
Yeah.
And you'd have had their heaviest album since Lick It Up.
That's my other problem, too, is the production. It's very thin, but it's 1987. So that production was in back then. You know, everything sounded like that.
It is, but Nevison did that type of production, but I feel like he played to other bands' strengths better than this. Like, you don't like Ultimate Sin, but I know Lou loves it. And Ultimate Sin did not sound this flat.
It could have been beefed up better, but it was still a punchy album. But then I think back to Nevison's productions on the UFO stuff and the Shanker stuff. And I guess I'm just baffled at how much he changed his style to fit Ultimate Sin, Crazy Nights, and the Heart material from the mid to late 80s. You know, I mean,
well,
I would have never guessed he to be the poster boy for overproduced hard rock of the 80s.
You know, I wouldn't either, but that's actually Heart is what made Paul interested in him for this. And I think one of his requests is he actually told Ron he wanted it to sound like that.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Wayne, you were saying.
Yeah, no, I really do like this album. I think it's a really good album, and I hate when people put it down because it's just there's a lot of really good songs in here. I get why people put it down because it's a little with the keyboards, it's a little I don't want to say the word, but there's a lot of really good songs on here. Reason to Live, we covered it. That's how much I like that song. I wouldn't want to cover that song if I didn't like it, you know.
There's this Kiss hater on YouTube called The Fonz who totally pissed on our video.
Which said, video? Oh, the
Reason to Live. And he said, all you look and sound like you rode the short bus growing up.
Oh, I remember that comment.
And I was like, dude, we just like it. We're not trying to like convince anybody. We're just doing it because we wanted to do it. You don't like it? Fuck off, really.
Right. You cover a song. Cover the song you want to do. Don't fucking tell us what to do, asshole. Yeah, I'm done. I like Crazy Nights. What do you do? What do you think, Lou?
So again, this is one of the cassettes my brother had, but I didn't hear it until I was 13, 14. For my 14th birthday, my older brother Tony bought me. Remember, there was a period of time where Kiss's live footage and stuff was Bill O'Coin auctioned it off or sold it off to all these bootleggers or whatever. And they started, you know, that's how it got around. And then there was that one Kiss convention that Paul and Gene came over and they took everything back. And, but still a lot of those bootlegs circulated. So he got me the A live 76 show at Cobo Hall in Detroit, the Unmasked tour in Australia, and a compilation of Kiss's videos. And all this guy did was just basically take the footage from the Crazy Nights video and Exposed and Extreme Close Up, and just kind of made like a comp of it. But that was my first exposure to Crazy Nights. And mind you, growing up, I've always been a fan of like Japanese culture, anime, Godzilla films, Japanese wrestling and whatever. So when I saw Eric Carr in the video have the Chikara Japanese symbol on his drums, that's what drew me to Crazy Nights. And the first video on that video comp was, it was Turn on the Night, then it was Reason to Live, and it was Crazy, Crazy Nights. Now, 2 out of 3, I love those songs. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a big Diane Warren fan, but I am a fan of pop music, and I like that song. As I tell myself that it's Kiss going pop, and you know, you either think it's good or bad. I think it's good. I feel the same way about Reason to Live. I like Bruce's solos on them. I love Eric Carr. So to me, hearing him playing, even though I thought that, you know, it was not the best that his drum sounded, I'll always think Creatures of the Night was his best sounding ever. You know, I was happy that he, you know, to see him in the videos. And again, this is me speaking as a 14-year-old. So I do like those songs. But my review of the album. So people put this album on the same level as Hot in the Shade, but I think it's a better album. And yes, it's indicative of the time. It's poppy, it's sheen, it's overproduced, it's slick, and it's polished. But I don't hate the I actually rather like it. It is hard for me to believe that this album was produced by Rod Nevison, who produced the equally sheen and polished Ultimate Sin by Ozzy. Why is it hard to believe? Again, I emphasize it's the same Rod Nevison who produced the classic UFO and Michael Schenker albums. You wouldn't believe it's the same guy if you put those albums together. Unfortunately, this album does have the same lyrical cliches written by Gene on songs like No, 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 because it's a tell of where he was at mentally at the time of this recording, with his face in scripts all around Hollywood. Maybe if this was distributed as a Paul Stanley solo album, it would be better received by Kiss fans, because for all intents and purposes, it was a Paul Stanley solo album. I will say one thing, and I hope it puts the Vinnie Vincent Save the Kiss stuff to rest. You can credit Vinnie for his great songwriting and playing on Creatures and Lick It Up, but Paul really kept the band alive when everyone else, including Gene, abandoned ship. Do I wish they treated Bruce and Eric Carr better during this period? Yes. But Paul did what he had to do. You could tell he was desperate to keep the band together on a shoestring, and Kiss's cuts do start to bleed on this album. But I do like most of the songs on it and take it for what it is. Kiss surviving the late 80s by following the trends as opposed to being the trendsetters. Everyone's due a break. Standout tracks, I'll Fight Hell to Hold You. I'm with you on that, Wayne. No, 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 I'm with you on that, Greg. I like Come Hell or High Water. I love Reason to Live. I like Good Girl Gone Bad. I like Turn on the Night, and I like Thief in the Night. Again, thank you, Wendy O. Williams, for having a version of that song that's got teeth. Yep. Weakest tracks, I fucking hate Crazy, Crazy Nights. I never want to hear that song again. Even worse, Bang Bang You.
No, that song sucks.
I don't hate My Way. I don't like it. If you ask me if I think there's a worse Kiss song, I already gave you the answer. It's Nothing Can Keep Me From You. Or I'll Finally Find My Way. There are worse songs in the discography than My Way.
Well,
my opinion. My opinion. And I don't like When Your Walls Come Down. Hey.
Of the studio is a lot of work.
Can we agree that Turn on the Night is a better cover than She Kissed Me?
Wayne, we lost you. You all right?
It does this all the time, every week.
Okay, Greg, take two.
Okay. Well, anyway, the problem with Turn on the Night isn't necessarily it's terribly written. It's performed terribly. They're not into it. You know, yes, it's Kiss taking on late 80s things. Yes, it's out of the wheelhouse. However, so was Shandy on Unmasked. It was Kiss does the Doobie Brothers. And you know what? They did it beautifully and with finesse because they believed in it. Turn on the Night sounds like Ron said, hey, write with this chick and it'll make you some money. And you know why it didn't make any money? Because they sound like crap on it. That's why it did not chart.
Did you hear my question, though?
What?
Do you think Turn on the Night is a worse cover version than She Kissed Me?
It's not a cover.
No.
Then She Kissed Me is a cover. Oh, she just wrote it. Oh, okay.
Diane Warren wrote it with Paul.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't even know who fucking Diane Warren is.
Just remember Aerosmith Armageddon. That's all.
All right. Oh, okay. All right. I get it.
Other people have said that to me, but I know who you're thinking of. Diane Warren is a songwriter. Dionne Warwick is the singer.
That's why I'm getting very confused. Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Completely different artists.
Yeah. It's not even, I don't even listen to either. It was her, but yeah.
It is what it is. Never mind. I'll edit that out.
But I mean, you know, they could do pop and they could do it. They just do not perform that song well. It's not a terrible song. It's just, there's a lot on here that's a lot stronger. And it's, I had a buddy that loved Crazy, Crazy Nights as well. He used to play it all the time. We'd put it on damn near every comp tape. And it used to drive me crazy. Now, when I got this record and Asylum, I got them both at the same time. My neighbor gave them to me. They didn't have the covers, so I didn't see that until later. But, you know, I listened to them. I was into it. I was like, hey, it's different, but it's still Kiss. You know, this is pretty cool. Except Asylum was always a little bit unmemorable, even from the beginning. But the initial excitement of King of the Mountain and Any Way You Slice It, Who Wants to Be Lonely, was pretty nice.
Yeah.
But
definitely helped.
I when I first played Crazy Nights, I played it from side two at first because I didn't realize it. So I was like, yeah, Hell or High Water. And then Nights, I was like, this is pretty lame.
Yeah.
No one's going to change me. That's who I am.
He'll put on Rob Halford's jacket while he's at it too.
Rob looked more butch during the Turbo era than this period. But
I never thought I'd say this about anything, but Parental Guidance be a better song than Crazy Nights.
Well, I gotta say one thing about the Asylum tour. My God, Gene looked like B. Arthur. Like worse than Ozzy.
Yes.
Like, those are the worst costumes ever in Kiss's wardrobe.
His hair in the 80s looked like a merkin. Do you know what that is?
Isn't that like a bag of shit?
It's a pubic wig.
Okay,
never mind. and another point I wanted to make. Never mind. I can't.
They could have framed it perfectly with one of the chicks from the Love Gun painting. He could have had his head right there.
I think those were his pubes. Anyways, the second point I like the song Time Traveler. That would have been cool to have heard as like a B-side or maybe replacement for like when Your Walls Come Down. So I really hate it. Again, hey, diddle, diddle, when the cat wants to fiddle, the kitten's got to give him the move. Paul, what is wrong with you?
I mean, I would rather have it replaced Bang Bang You. I'm going to bang, bang you. Take a shot on my love gun, baby. Like,
so stupid.
Yeah, that's how they were reaching.
Yes, they were reaching for what I have no idea. But all right, so far, Greg, I'm agreeing with a lot of these album rankings that you did, except for Monster. That's going to the bottom for me. So far, so good.
Yeah, that one surprises me, but
I'm weird.
What can you do? Yeah, it's funny. Like I was saying, you know, trying to talk to other people about this. You guys get it, which of course is why we do the show together. But I don't hate any of them. I mean,
yeah, no,
I crap on Asylum, but I still like the record.
Yeah, it's Kiss. You know, they're any band you like is gonna bound to have like albums that you don't like or songs you don't like. So if you're just one of those people out there that just like everything, you're weird, you know. There's something wrong with you, you need to seek help.
But immediately. Then the other side of that is, you know, they did their last shows and everything, and I see all these people out there, oh, Kiss has always sucked, they weren't important, blah blah blah. No, that's why I really wanted to do this, to show you there is something to merit on each record.
No, Kiss has influenced so many bands, even if it's just like the makeup that they did, they influenced so many bands, you know. And I hate when people say that. I hate that.
I don't know why they say that. They set the standard for the live rock show,
right?
You know, I mean, like,
you wouldn't have all these fireworks and laser things and shit going off on concerts if it wasn't for Kiss.
Oh, and also to rebut one of Gene's own comments, I remember seeing once that he said he hated Unmasked the most and would be embarrassed to play it for his mother. He should have said Asylum. Come on, Gene. Unmasked might not be ever.
Gene admittedly faltered off in the 80s because he was more concerned about his Hollywood career
and producing other bands.
I mean, if I was Paul Stanley, I would have just said F this, you know. But they are two peas in a pod, so.
Oh, certainly. And actually, even though we won't get to this one until way later, but Lou talking about it made me think about it. Creatures of the Night, yes, I suppose it is the start of their metal album, but me personally, when I think of metal, Kiss, I think of from Lick It Up through Crazy Nights. I guess you could even say Hot in the Shade, really. And the reason why is because, yes, Creatures of the Night takes on that extra dimension of heaviness that was out there in the world, especially after the new wave of British heavy metal. But it is still 100% a complete Kiss album. It is like Kiss Reborn. It's like Sabbath's Heaven and Hell. You still know it's Kiss. And I don't think they quite strayed, even as they did on Lick It Up a little bit. Like, Exciter is more so a speed metal song than a Kiss song. Not that that's a bad thing, and I love that tune, but they took those influences and strictly threw them into the traditional Kiss sound on Creatures of the Night. And to me, even though, yes, Ace is gone, yes, Peter was long gone, that is what I would call the last true classic Kiss record. In terms of sound, I love Revenge. That's up there too.
Fair enough.
Cool, very cool. Well, thank you guys for watching the show. Join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on freeworld.fm, where I play some music and do news. I'm trying to get some bands to you know, do some interviews and stuff like that. So that'll be coming up soon. Severed Angel debut album, severedangel.bandcamp.com. There is a new album coming out very soon. More details to follow. So follow Severed Angel on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok,
YouTube, Twitter.
Yeah, I was gonna wait for him to show it again and talk again, but go ahead.
And buy Kiss merchandise, but not Kiss condoms, because we need more fans. We don't want to start a draft.
That's a good one.
What do you got going on? What's your name again? Lou.
Oh, me? Nothing. I just work's been busy. I'm supposed to start tracking the next Severed Angel album. I've demoed material to the approval of three of the four other bandmates.
I don't approve.
You never approve, and I don't care because you don't contribute. Oh, what a giveaway. But I do want to give a special shout out to my
me. Okay, you, great, thank you.
Not you. A special shout out to my sister-in-law, Cassandra, and her husband, Ryan, on the birth of their baby daughter, born on, what's it, the 24th? January 22nd. So congratulations to you, and may you have a happy, healthy life together with your newborn baby. I can't wait to see my new niece.
Yes, congratulations. On that note,
congratulations.
Thank you.
On that note, we will see you next time with more Kiss.
Yes.
From the least to the, what am I saying?
From the worst to the best.
From the worst to the best.
As according to Greg Noggle.
We're beginning to get into more of the cream of the crop here.
Ooh, the cream rises to the top. That was terrible Macho Man impersonation. Goodbye.
Snap into some Kiss. Ooh, yeah.